Okay, so we saw the sugi last time, Brochas at Lamed Ches Omed Aleph. So let's just briefly recap the sugi, and then we have a lot of work to do. Be'ez Hashem, Gishmaka work, we have Tosis to do. We wanted to recap a little bit of Lamed Vov, and then we'll see how it all, Be'ez Hashem, concludes the Halacha. We were talking about what was called Shesisa. Shesisa is a wheat-based mixture. You add water to it, and the Gemara says that there are two ways of making it. Either what's called a blila avo, a thick mixture, in which case the bracha is mezoinus, or a blila raka, which is a softer, more runny, liquidy mixture, and then the bracha would be shahakov. The Gemara said there's no machlokes about that. Rav Shmuel, even though that one said mezoinus and one said shahakov, they were just talking about two different mixtures, there's no machlokes. When would you make a blila avo? When would you make a blila rakos? The Gemara says a blila avo, a thicker mixture you would make when you're interested in?
Food.
In the food, Shaboy. A runny mixture you would make when you're making it for refuah. Now, let's just point out again. We saw the Rambam last time, number one on the sheets. The Rambam makes no mention whatsoever of the word refuah or achila. Rather, he says, if it's thick, it's an oichel. If it's runny, it's a drink. What do you mean? Why did he miss out the whole fact about refuah? So it seems to be that the Rambam holds that the issue of intent is not really the important factor over here. It happens to be you would normally make it for refuah if it's runny, and you do normally make it thick if it's eichel. But ultimately, it all depends on one thing. What is it? Is it thick? It's an achila. Is it runny? It's a shtia. That's all that depends. That's what's quite clearly apparent in the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos. Okay. That was part one of the sugya. What was part two? Part two is we're now switching modes and we're moving away from Hilchos Brachos to Hilchos Shabbos. Because the Gemara says, quoting a Brisa in Shabbos, Boichashin. What does boichashin mean? Stir. But Tosfos says boichashin is a very interesting usage of word. And what does it indicate? That it's a runny mixture. Right. If it would be a thick mixture, you'd use a different word. You'd use the word gibel. Gibel means to mix a thick mixture. Boichashin, which is what it says, is clearly talking about a runny mixture. Now, it says you're allowed to mix that on Shabbos. So let's now put the pieces together. If it's a thin mixture, it's a runny mixture, presumably he's making it for what purpose? For refuah. Well, why are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Refuah is osur on Shabbos. That was the Gemara's question. What was the Gemara's answer?
It's a drink.
It's a drink. And this is a very, very important halacha, which, by the way, as I mentioned, is halacha lemaisa. You're allowed to eat foods on Shabbos, even if you're taking them specifically for refuah purposes, so too you're allowed to have drinks. So if someone tells you, here, have a hot lemon tea, because it's good for your throat, even if you don't like lemon tea, and the only reason I'm having it is for medicinal purposes, it's mutter to take on Shabbos. Why? Because it's achila and shtiyah, it's food and drink. You're allowed to eat food on Shabbos, and you're allowed to drink drinks on Shabbos, and you're allowed to take refuah on Shabbos. Very interesting question, by the way, in parentheses. Imagine if you've got an upset stomach. So the doctor tells you, you should go to bed with a hot water bottle. Why are you doing that? Purely for medicinal purposes. So I saw in one of the Sfarim, he has a very interesting shaila. He says, maybe that would be mutter on Shabbos again, because it comes under the same category as what's called Michael Briam. What's Michael Briam? The food the healthy people take. Why is food the healthy people take mutter to take on Shabbos? Remember what we said last time? Because Rashi says that Chazal were only gozer on refuah when what? One condition? Nikah. It's clearly recognizable that it's been taken for refuah. If I drink a hot lemon tea, it's not recognizable. Because I see you drinking a lemon tea, I have no idea your intent. Looks like you're drinking a lemon tea. A lot of healthy people drink lemon teas. If you're having a hot chicken soup because your grandmother says it cures every illness in the book, even if you don't like chicken soup, it doesn't look like you're taking refuah. So if you go to bed in a hot water bottle, does it look like you're taking refuah? Not necessarily. A lot of people go to bed with a hot water bottle. However, what will be the halacha in the summer?
It's recognizable as refuah.
Then maybe there'd be a distinction. If it'd be in the winter, there's nothing unique. A guy goes to bed with a hot water bottle to say he's cold. I don't know, and it's therefore not clearly nikkar, it's not recognizable he's doing it for medicinal purposes. But if he does so in the summer, why would you go to bed at 108 Fahrenheit with a hot water bottle? So then maybe it is nikkar. So maybe it's not a heter. That is a discussion. Either way, back to our story. So the Gemara says the reason why you're allowed to stir and take shoseh, shasisa on Shabbos is because it's for refuah. Even though it's refuah, because it is an achoichel and a shtia, as the Gemara calls it, you're basically eating. The refuah is memela. What does that mean, memela? By the by. What do you mean by the by? That was his main intention. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because at the end of the day, I classify this person as, what's he involved in, which type of activity? Eating. You're allowed to eat on Shabbos. The fact that it brings about to refuah, memela, is of no consequence. We're not interested in. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara said in conclusion, now this is a very, very important point, this we're going to discuss today, that one moment, therefore. We have two sugyas running concurrently. Sugya number one, discussing Hilchos Brachos. Sugya number two, Hilchos Shabbos. So let's start backwards now. In sugya number two, we're told that you're allowed to mix this and take this on Shabbos. So what must be the reason? Why is that so? Because we classify it as an oichel. So let's now come back to sugya number one. We don't understand the chiddush at all. If somebody mixes shasisa and it's a runny mixture, you make a bracha of shahakel. Why wouldn't you make a bracha? It's an oichel, and it's clearly an oichel, as is apparent in Hilchos Shabbos. If it wouldn't be classified as an oichel, you wouldn't be allowed to take it on Shabbos. So what are you telling me a chiddush at all? Meirai v'rabbeisai, if you drink shasisa, the runny version, you make a bracha shahakel. Of course you make a bracha shahakel. At the end of the day, it's an oichel. So what did the Gemara answer? No. And this was the big chiddush, and this is what we're going to discuss today. Because you might have thought that because you're taking it for medicinal purposes, you don't make a bracha at all. Even though it's classified as an oichel, has the status of an oichel. Why am I taking it? For refuah. So I would have been excused for thinking that even though it's classified as an oichel with regard to Hilchos refuah on Shabbos, but maybe it doesn't deserve a bracha at all because I'm not taking it because I'm interested in it. I'm just taking it for refuah. Komash malam, you do make a bracha. Why? One word answer. Hanom. At the end of the day, you benefit from it. At the end of the day, you benefit from it. Why? Because it has a pleasant taste. That was the end of the Gemara. It would seem to be, we're going to see whether this is true halacha l'maisa, it would seem to be that if you take something for medicinal purposes and there is no hana, there wants halacha, no bracha. That's what seems to emerge from our Gemara. That seems to be the inescapable conclusion from our Gemara. The Gemara says the only reason why you make a bracha on this shasisa when you take it for refuah purposes is that it happens to be there's hana. Mashma. And maybe more than mashma, absolutely clear. No hana, no bracha. That seems to be the maskana. We'll see la halacha whether that really does hold true or not. So let's have a look at the bottom tesis. V'hotnam kol ha'oichlim. The tesis is commenting on the line of the Gemara, where the Gemara asks, so we have a Mishnah in Shabbos that says kol ha'ichlin, all food, says Tosfos the mashma. Mid nokat, because we mention kol ha'ichlin with the stress being on the word kol. Da afilu, the Bach takes out the word kol. Da afilu she'ikrei l'refuah, even if it is essentially for refuah, doesn't matter. Kiven she'er ro'u le'achila, the optimum mode being ro'u, because it is at the end of the day fitting to be eaten, not for refuah purposes. Kiven she'er ro'u le'achila shapir domi, it is therefore perfectly permissible mid the nokat kol, quote unquote, because it says the word kol. And that was the Gemara's question that I see quite clearly even if it is ikrei l'refuah, but at the end of the day, if it is ra'u li'achila, then it's mutter to take on Shabbos. Says Tesis, umasik ha'gemara. The Gemara concludes, v'tzricha d'rav u'shmul. What does that mean, v'tzricha d'rav u'shmul? It is necessary to be taught Rav and Shmuel's chiddush. What was Rav and Shmuel's chiddush? The beginning of the sugya, that you make a bracha on shesisa, even when it's taken for refuah, even though it's a runny mixture, you make a bracha. By the way, not mezoinos, which bracha? Shehakol. But nonetheless, a bracha is made. And the Gemara says, that is a chiddush. Now, what does that mean, that's a chiddush? Let's take this slowly. The pshita, the Bach changes it to lemas nisin. Have a look at the Bach, Sifkot and Zayin on the left-hand side, or on the right-hand side, or wherever it is in your Gemara. Yep, you have the Bach, the last Bach on the page, Sifkot and Zayin. We're reading this with the Bach. The pshita lemas nisin, the shori b'shabbos. That's poshut, that it's permissible to be administered on Shabbos, kiven she'oymeid la'achila, because it stands to be eaten. Afogav the ikrei l'refuah. Even though its main function is refuah, but it is at the end of the day classified as an oichel. And that's poshut in the Mishnah that it's mutter. Now let's go back into the Tosfos. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. What's the chiddush of Rav Shmuel? Avol de Rav Shmuel, says Tosfos, Av Ashmino, what are they teaching us? Deloy Neima. Do not say that kiven de ikra l'refuah, because it is essentially for refuah, loy lavrich aleha klal. You'd be excused for thinking that what? That you wouldn't make a bracha at all. Komash malon, you do. Kiven de mishani minei, because you benefit from it, therefore bo'i baruchi, therefore you do make a bracha. Now let's just press pause for a moment. The Gemara is telling us, and this is the way the Tosfos is explaining, the chiddush on Rav Shmuel is, what might I have thought? No bracha. Why no bracha? Because take him for a four. Kamash malon you do. Now let's stop. Let's enter the world of the Hava Amina for the moment. The Hava Amina was, what would be the halacha, which bracha do you make on Shesisa? No bracha. That was the Hava Amina. I need Rav Shmuel to straighten me out and say that actually there is a bracha after all. But apparently I would have been excused for thinking that there's no bracha. So one moment. In that Havana, which doesn't remain at the end of the day, but let's try and understand the Havana. On Shabbos, are you allowed to take that refuah on Shabbos? Yes, before a Shemishna. Why? I'm taking it for refuah. Because it's an oichel. If it's classified as an oichel, it's not included in the gzeir refuah. So why would you have thought, therefore, it's an oichel, that you don't make a bracha on it? Because the intention is for refuah. So you're telling me that in the world of the Havamina, when it comes to brachos, the intention is important, and when it comes to refuah on Shabbos, the intention is irrelevant. That's the Havamina. Otherwise, why in the world would I have thought you don't make a bracha? Shabbos clearly tells me that this is classified as an oichel, otherwise you wouldn't be able to take it on Shabbos. Now ask this person on Shabbos, ask him straight out, why are you drinking this shesisa? What would he tell you? For refuah. Not because I enjoy it, can't stand it. Taking it for a fur, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, so why is it mutter on Shabbos? Because it's classified as a food. So I'm interested in classification rather than intention. And yet the Gemara to have a minute that what? That when it comes to brachos, all of a sudden, intention is paramount.
The classification has to do with nothing there.
For Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right. So when it comes to Shabbos, even though my intention is, it doesn't matter, is it nikah or is it not nikah? And that's really the answer. When it comes to refuah, when it comes to, remember we explained this last time, Tosfos said twice, ikrei l'refuah. What does ikrei l'refuah mean? That's its primary purpose. But it's also ro'ul achila. I don't know, 20% of people eat this also for achila. So we asked last time, I don't understand, b'chola teira kula, if you have 80%, 20%, you always go with the 20%. Why over here am I going with the 20%? Why not with the 80? What did we say? As you just pointed out, here roiv and miut is irrelevant. Why is it irrelevant? Because even if there are only 20%, even if there are only 10%, even if there are only 5% of people who eat the achila, at the end of the day, it's not nikah. It's not nikah. The gezeira was, don't take clearly recognizable refuah. This is not clearly recognizable refuah. Why? Because 1 in 10 people takes it for achila. Yeah, but 9 out of 10 take it for refuah. So what? It's not nikah. When I see a person drinking shatisos, I do not know whether the fellow is ill or not. He probably is unwell, because 9 out of 10 drink it for refuah. But I can't say so with certainty. Ah, it's not nikah? So it's mutter. But when it comes to brachos, nikah and not nikah is totally irrelevant. It's not talking about gzeira drabonon. Refuah, it's a gzeira. What does it look like? Here we're not talking about gzeira drabonon. We're talking about what bracha do you make. So therefore, that's why the Gemara said, I would have been perfectly excused for thinking, it depends what you're trying to do. If your intention is for refuah, so it's not food, don't make a bracha. Ayin Hilchus Shabbos, it's classified. Who cares what it's classified as? That's only because, therefore, it's not nikah and refuah. That's not our discussion. What our discussion is brachos. I would have thought it all depends on, am I taking it for refuah or am I not taking it for refuah? If I'm taking for refuah, so I'm not eating. I'm not eating. I'm taking medicine. That's not an activity of eating. Says the Gemara, that's why I need Rav and Shmuel to tell me that what? Then you do make a bracha after all. Why? Because you're benefiting it. Now, it would sound like it's Rav Shmuel saying, even though I'm involved in an act of taking refuah, but because you're benefiting from it, that would be enough to require a bracha. We'll see in the Rishonim whether that definition is accurate or not. Let's continue. Toisus says, Toisus, from Mikol Mokoim, despite the fact that Gemara has taught me la maskana that I do make a bracha after all, but don't forget, lo yevarech elo shahakol. I don't make mezainas. I only make mezainas on a thick mixture, but not on a runny mixture. Why? Kivan she'inoi osui lis'oid. I've had this word many times in the parak, the word sa'uda. It's not made to sustain or to fill you up. Nobody takes shasisa, certainly when you're not taking it for refuah, lis'oid. Therefore, ki'im lishtos. Rather, you're just doing it to drink. Therefore, it is not filling you up. Therefore, there cannot be a bracha of mezainas. Says Tosfos, in kein, if that's true, then I reach the following very important conclusion. Kol davar sheyesh bo mechameshes haminim, anything which has one of the five species. Remember we had this early on in the parak. What's the principle of Rav and Shmuel there? Anything which has chameshes haminim is mezainas. But says Tosfos, we need to qualify that now. Apparently that's not always the case. Kol davar sheyesh bo mechameshes haminim, but ve'einoy osui lisoid, if it's not made for su'udah purposes, rather ki'im lishtois, rather just to drink, kagoin sheikhar, sheikhar, beer, is also made up of chameshes minim. Ah, so made up chameshes minim should be mezainos. No, because you don't drink beer to fill you up. And our Gemara has just told you that shatisa, you don't make mezainos, even though it's got chameshes minim. Why? Because it's not made for the su'udah, so too sheikhar. So kagoyin sheichar or kiyetziboy, anything similar to that, mevorech, shahakoil, you would make a bracha of shahaka, which is a very, very important tosis now, because this is a major, major qualification of the principle in Rav Shmuel we learned early on in the parak. We learned early on in the parak that you have anything which contains in it, even if it's not its entirety. In fact, remember we said even if it's not the ikka. If it's the ikka, then it's obvious. Ikkar and Tafel, you always make the bracha on the ikkar. But even if it's not the ikkar, doesn't matter. If it has chameshes mini dog on it, you make mezainas. Now we all of a sudden arrive at the Tosfos, Lamed Ches, Lamed Aleph, tucked away in the corner that says, one second, not so poshut. That's providing that, you're taking it lis'oid to fill you up as a suda. Says Tosfos, Ochahai Gavna, in similar manner, Posak Bahag, we've mentioned the Bahag, the Baal Alochas Gedoyla, is one of the Gedoyla Rishonim, and he says, Vehilchasa, this is the way that he codifies this halacha. The halacha is as follows. Shesisa, Avo, if it is a fixed Shesisa, Mabarak, Boromanim, Zainus. And if it is Kalishta, what does Kalishta mean? It's like a weak, softer mixture. Mavorech Shahakoel. Va'af al pi shel refuah nasis, even though it is made for refuah, Heche de isle hano'o minei, where you have hano'o from it, Mavorech, you make a bracha. That is a very neat summary of our entire sugya, as codified by the Bahag, as quoted by Tosfos, and presumably, we will see presently in the Shulchan Aruch, that will be the halacha lemaisa. So we've learned in our sugya many, many, many important halachas. Hilchas brachas, and in Hilchas Shabbos, and a massive qualification of the whole Chamishas Minim rule. Halacha number one, Shesisa, what bracha? Depends. Ava, Mezoinis. Rako, Shehakel. Halacha number one. Halacha number two, Tosfos says, I see from over here that anything that has Chamishas Minim Dogon in it, but it's not taken for Seuda purposes, you make Shehakel. Halacha number three, switching gear to Hilchas Shabbos, even though this is essentially for refuah, the Shesisa, most people take it for refuah. The only reason why you make a brach on it at all is because you happen to benefit from it, but ultimately taking it for refuah. So why is it muta on Shabbos? The answer is, Eichel Briam. So Eichel. Just this Friday, somebody was in my house, he said he's got a terrible cough. He's got a terrible cough. So he went to the store and he bought special types of candies, which you pay extra for, and that's supposed to soothe the throat. They're not a regular candy. He asks, is it mutter to take on Shabbos or is it not? Now, if you would want to chew a regular candy, hard-boiled sweet, you don't know what a hard-boiled sweet is? You don't have that in Baltimore. Come all the way to Israel not knowing what a hard-boiled sweet is.
It's called candy.
She hates candy. If somebody won't take candy on Shabbos because he's feeling sick, he hates eating candy. Doesn't enjoy candy whatsoever. Is he allowed to take it on Shabbos? Yes, Michael Brian. But in our case, that's only when you're taking an Eichel. But a special type of candy which you pay extra and they put it. Oh, that's not an Eichel. Regular people don't take that type of candy. That's got special ingredients, that's got a medication already. That's already refuah. That's already refuah.
So the benefit is to the goof, not to the mouth.
What do you mean?
Usually if you don't like something, but you're not going to enjoy this.
One second. Whether you enjoy it or not is only an issue in Hilchas Brachas. That will be the next follow-up question. What bracha does he make on this candy at all? But with regards to taking on Shabbos, the benefit or not benefit is irrelevant. I need to know, is it classified as an oichel, or is it not? Do people take this food whilst healthy? The answer is, this type of medication, no. Nobody in the world will take this type of medication. Now, you could in theory turn around to me and say, Bestader, but it's not nikka. I don't know what type of tanned candy. It looks like a white candy, Chris. I don't know whether you pay 2 shekel for it or 20 shekel.
Someone's walking around with a Ricola box. You know, I mean, that's obvious. It's all candy, but it's just through the throat.
And yeah, I think people take it. I think people take it as they used to dispense it in Kodal.
To your neighbor,
friends.
Right. To the guy sitting there, it right. Looks like he's taking a candy.
No, so that's the question. Do I say that literally it depends what it looks like to the visible eye, or no? Does it depend on, firstly, its status, and that therefore dictates what's nick? Al Kaponim told him not to take it on Shabbos because the healthy people don't take these expensive types of medications. You know, it looks like a candy. Ultimately, every tablet looks like a candy. Still asked it to take on Shabbos. The answer is first I have to know what it is, essentially. Okay, that's what we've learned in our sugya. Now, before we see the Rishonim, let's just take a brief look again at a very similar sugya. We've learned it already, but I think it's well worth reminding ourselves on Lamed Vav Omed Aleph. Lamed Vav Omed Aleph, the fifth line. We're sort of jumping in the middle of the sugya. It doesn't matter because we only want to see what's relevant to us. The Gemara there was discussing Shemen. What bracha do you make on shemen zayis? The Gemara said essentially boirei pri ha'etz. Why? It's an extract of a fruit. Remember we said in the last sugya you always make shahakel, but shemen is different because it was oy made to make shemen. Now, if you remember there, the Gemara discussed one moment. When exactly do you make a bracha of ha'etz? It can't mean that you took just a cup of shemen and you drank it. That can't be the case. Why not? No one does that. That's damaging. It can't be that you mixed a bit of shemen to some sort of mixture for flavoring because it's the ikra and the tofel. That's the tofel. You wouldn't make a bracha. So what is the case? Manamshach. If it was there for flavoring, it's a tofel. If you took a glass of it, that's damaging. So when is the case you make borei pri ha'etz? So if you remember, have a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says we're talking about anigroin. What's anigroin? Anigroin is a shemen mixture, but the shemen over here is the ikka. Why? So have a look at the fourth line. Hocha b'maya skinon b'choshesh b'groinoi. Somebody who's got a throat concern. Titania. Now again, this is back to Hilchos Refuah on Shabbos. We have a brayse that says, "Achoshesh b'groinoi." If somebody is concerned about his throat, lo ya'arenu b'shemen tchilo b'Shabbos. Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, the way Rashi learns is, don't gargle shemen on Shabbos. Avol noisen shemen har b'leteich anigroinu b'leia. But if you mix the shemen with the anigroin and you swallow it, that is muta. Fine. Shita? No. Because your intention is for refuah, you should not make a bracha on it. The same as our sugya. That is the sugya there. So again, what is the final analysis? When do you actually make a bracha on shemen? It's not if you take a glass of shemen, nobody does that. It's not when you just sprinkle it in for flavoring, that's a tofel. No, it's the prime content of the anigroin. I'm taking it for a fuhr. Someone says, no, it says poshet. Obviously you make a bracha, not so poshet, because I'm taking it for a fuhr. So I would thought you don't make a bracha at all. Kamash malon you do because you have hanor. Mamash exactly the same as our sugya, word for word. Now if you look at Tosfos there, the second Tosfos, small little Tosfos, but very big. Remember of Yankel Galinsky? Very, very, very short person. Very, very short. Gvaldiger Magid, the stipler, Sachrein of Rocha, learned together with him in Yeshiva. He encouraged him to be big bombers. He had a phenomenal sense of humor, but he used his humor for Musa. He had a very difficult life. At least two of his children passed away. So they once asked him, how are you always so positive in life? How are you always so positive? Always had a positive outlook. Always had a smile. Always had a joke. A very difficult life. A lot of you stirring. So he said, how am I so positive? He said, very easy. He said, you know, everyone says, if you have a glass half full, half empty, you can look at it two ways. If you're positive, half full. If you're negative, half empty. So I look at the glass. I look at my life as a glass which is half full. So I look at the positive side. He said, the truth is, for me, it's very easy because I'm so short, I can't even see the top of the glass anyways. And you see the bottom. That was Yanko Galinsky. I'll call upon him, why did I mention him? He's very short. So I remember when he used to come to Gateshead Yeshiva, he used to come once a year to speak. And he used to come in the front of the Yeshiva. And the pulpit in Gateshead Yeshiva was quite high. You could barely see him, you could imagine by his nose over the top of the pulpit. I remember one of the Magidi Shurim said that Aaron Kotler, Zichrono Livracha from Lakewood, once came to Gateshead. Aaron Kotler was also very short. He was very, very short. So one of the Magidi Shurim said, I remember him saying it. So Aaron Kotler came to Gateshead, and they were mechabed him, obviously, to give a shir. So he goes up to the pulpit, and he's also very short, and it caused a little chuckle here or there. You know, this small. I said, but then he started speaking. Ah, it was Gevorah and Azay Grace. So, wow, suddenly became massive. He saw that this is somebody who might be short in height, colossal in stature. This is a short thesis, but a very, very, very important halacha. Kibun de isle hanom inei bo'i beruchi. Venirim hadvarim, says Tosfos. It would appear it would appear, says Tosfos, the im Adam Shoiser Mashkin, they add at the side in the name of the Marashah, Lurafuah. If a person drinks Mashkin for Rafuah, im ha Mashkin Ro'in Lishtois, if they are bad to drink, namely, the less lay hanotomine, i.e. has no benefit from it, the Gemara over here seems to be quite clear that what? Loi ba'i bruchi. That seems to be the indication of the Gemara. V'i islay hanotomine b'loi ha-refuah. And if, even without the medicinal purposes, Tosfos is coming to point out a problem, you always have benefits. Which benefit do you always have? The medicinal purposes. So he says, no, we're not talking about that hanah. We're talking about, do you have any hanah besides for the refuah? Then, bo'i baruchi. Then, bo'i baruchi. That seems to be the conclusion of our Gemara. Now, you should take note of one important word. Im ha-mashkim ro'im lishtos. What does ro'im lishtos mean? Ro'im. No, with an ayin. The word ra,
they drink.
Which might therefore pose a halachic shaila, and we'll see. Beis Hashem, Moshe will get there today, but Mr. on Tuesday, on Thursday. Does it actually have to be negative taste? What about neutral taste? Why did taste have to say ra'im lish taste? Wouldn't it have sufficed to say I don't have benefits? What does it taste of? No taste. Plain. If Tosfos uses the word ro'im, it sounds like only if it actually has negative taste. Or what happens if it would be, it's not strawberry flavoured Nurofen, but it's plain, tastes for all I taste nothing. Water, no taste. Did you make a bracha? You wouldn't make a bracha. On one hand, Tosfos says ro'im. On the other hand, Tosfos says less le'anomine. So which one is it? So, we have to make a mental note of this place. Okay.
Let's be referring there to a specific person. I mean, this person does the chicken soup is bad for him, so he's not going to make what we say. No,
what do you mean bad for him?
It's a bad taste
for his taste buds. Right. I'm saying, but does it have to be that? What happens if it's not bad? I don't not enjoy it. I just ambivalent. Either way. Sometimes you have medication and it really is a negative, foul taste. That clearly don't make a bracha on if it's a drink. But does it have to be that far? Well, I take a medication. I haven't got a bad taste, but it equally doesn't have a good taste. What's halacha then? We'll make a mental note. We'll see there's a discussion about it in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, but we're not going to get there today. Have a look at Rabbeinu Yoina, number 2 on the sheets. There's Rabbeinu Yoina on the rift of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Rabbeinu Yoina is an important line, and we'll see. Let's try and work out together whether this challenges an assumption that we made before. Zok Rabbeinu Yoina, Umay de Omrinon, that which we say, Rako, the soft liquidy mixture, de la Rafua of Dila, which is made for medication purposes, Mavarech Shahakil. That is a quote from our Gemara. Comma. That which we say, that when it's made in a runny form for a four, you do not make a brach of mezonos, rather shahakol. Loi ka'amar, says Rabbeinu Yoina, do not make a mistake. We do not, remember the word ka'amar, how do we always translate the word ka'amar?
To mean,
not to say. Otherwise it would say loi omar. We know what was said, the question was what was meant. Loi ka'amar, he does not mean to say that mipnei she'enoi oichel oisalahano ela lerufua shivarech shahakol, because you're not taking it for hanoa purposes, rather for rufua, therefore the bracha will be shahakol. That's not what the Gemara means. Why not? Devadai mipnei she'oichel hadavar lerufua. Merely because you're eating it for medicinal purposes, einoi geireya birkosoi. What does geireya mean? Doesn't lose or diminish in any way its bracha. the ha'amrinon, because we say in Shabbos, in the Brice we just mentioned, kol ha'oichlim, oichl odom l'refuah, v'chol ha'maskin, hu shoysa. In other words, the fact that something is taken for a refuah, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is in itself not a reason to downgrade the bracha. Why? Because it's a food. How do I know it's a food? That's what he's quoting from the Gemara in Shabbos that we said before, kol ha'oichlim oichl odom l'refuah. How do you translate that sentence in English? All foods a person may eat for refuah. What do you mean? Is this an oichl or is it a refuah? Apparently, it's an oichl, it's not a contradiction. Just because you take something for refuah, it doesn't all of a sudden lose its oichl status. If it did lose its oichl status, it wouldn't make sense to say on Shabbos, kol oichlim oichl adam refuah. What do you mean? It's not a food, it's medication. The answer is, it is a food, it was a food, and remains a food, which I'm happening to take for refuah. So if I eat an apple because for refuah purposes, it doesn't now lose its oichl status, and therefore, no reason in the world it should change bracha. So if I take an apple because they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away, I don't enjoy apples, but they've told me to take it because it's medicinal purposes. Vitamin C, what bracha do I make on it? Vitamin C, sorry. What bracha do I make on it? Height. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Don't make a mistake of thinking that you know why shesisa raka, you only make shahakoil. The answer is because you're only taking it for refuah. And if you're only taking it for refuah, that changes its status completely and that downgrades it. It's simply not true, says Rabbeinu Yonah. Very, very important, Rabbeinu Yonah. A food that you take for refuah, if it remains a food, and it does, then the bracha remains as well. Hello. So rather, hochi koma, this is what's being told. Im hoiso raka, kamoi shederech la'asoiso l'refuah. If you make it soft, if you make it runny, kamoi shederech, what does that mean, kamoi shederech? As is the norm that you do for refuah. And this, remember, we explained in the Rambam. When we saw the Rambam number one on the sheets, remember we saw the Rambam makes zero mention of refuah. We said, what's going on? What, you forgot the Gemara? If you look at the Rambam number one on the sheets, the Rambam distinguished between one thing and one thing only. Is it Ava? It's Achila. Is it Rako? Is it Shtia? One sec, what happened to refuah? So what did we explain in the Rambam? It's Muchach in the Rambam, and Rabbeinu Yonah is Lachaira saying the same, that the intent and refuah is totally irrelevant. So why is the Gemara mentioning refuah at all? If it's irrelevant, why is the Gemara mentioning it? That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. It's just to illustrate the example. Kamoi shederech la'asoiso l'refuah, as is the norm you would normally make for refuah. But I'm not saying the reason why the bracha changes is because it's for refuah. So why does it change? Why at the end of the day am I not making mezainis on it? Because it's a liquid. Because it's a liquid. Look again at the Gemara, and then we'll see Rabbeinu Yonah again, and it'll make more sense. The Gemara says, and that's why it's a little bit tricky. When the Gemara started off the sugya, the Gemara says, have a look at the beginning, ha ba'ava ha barako. The Gemara says, la'achi ava la'achila avdilei. Rako l'refuah ka'avdila. You see that line of the Gemara, the first word on the line, l'refuah. Rako de l'refuah ka'avdila. Do you remember when we learned this line of the Gemara? I said immediately, what is the all-important factor over here? Is it Ava versus Raka? Sorry? Is it Achila versus Refuah? The Gemara seems to mix two things together. The Rambam eliminated which factor from the table? Took it off the table completely. Rabbeinu Yoina is saying the same. Rabbeinu Yoina is saying that when you read this Gemara, you might mistakenly think that what's the Gemara saying? Ah, because it's for refuah, that's why the bracha is downgraded. That's certainly how you could read the Gemara. No. That's not true. I see in Hilchos Shabbos it's got a normal status of a food. Just because you take it for refuah, that means it's not a food. Ah, so that's not the reason it gets downgraded. So why are you mentioning refuah at all? Says Rabbeinu Yehuda, all the Gemara means is, as an example, basically you could put those words in parentheses. Do you know how you should read the Gemara? Raka, in parentheses, de la refuah ka'ovid, the type that you would make for refuah, close parentheses, is shahakol. Why? Not because it was for refuah. That's just an example of what we're talking about. Imagine I would say to you, you know, there's different types of tables. There's black tables and there's the beige tables that they have in Darche Yitzchok. Oh, those cost 100 shekel, but the black tables cost 500 shekel. What would you say? Oh, really? Darche Yitzchok tables cost 100 shekel. No, I wasn't saying that. What was I saying? Beige tables, by the way, the ones that they have in Darche Yitzchok. It's just an example, just to help you understand what we, to know what we're talking about. That's not the reason why it costs 100 shekel. The reason why it costs 100 shekel is because of the color. This is Rabbeinu Yehuda, same over here as well. The refuah is not the reason why the brocha got downgraded. That's not what Rav Shmuel is saying. Why did they ever mention refuah? That's just to illustrate what we're talking about. Says the Rabbeinu Yehuda in conclusion, El Hochi Komar again. As is the way to make for refuah, even though you're drinking and you're benefiting it from it, why is it only shahakoil? One word answer, rako. Because it's rako, not because it's refuah. Very, very, very important, Rabbeinu Yehuda. Okay, we'll put the Rashba on hold for a moment. Maybe we'll come back to it, maybe we won't. Have a look now, a few minutes left. Let's try and see how this all concludes La Halacha. Says the Tur, number 4 on the sheet, says Eirachayim, Simon Reish Dalet, Sifches. Hashoysa Mayim Litzmo'oi. If somebody drinks mine, what does it smoy mean? Because he's thirsty. Fine, no chiddush so far. The dafka lismoi, but that's only when he's drinking the water because he's thirsty. Aval I chanokte umtsa. If he's had some, been strangled, for the word chenek, umtsa by meat. Imagine you have a piece of meat and it gets stuck in your throat. So you water it down. You're not drinking water because you're thirsty. You're just drinking water. Why? V'shoyse l'refuah. Just for medicinal purposes. This will help your throat become more comfortable because something's become stuck there. Einoy mevorech loy lefonov v'loy l'achrov. You don't drink either, you don't make a bracha either before or after. Says the Torah, however, Upirish Ri, it's Rabbeinu Yehuda, the Dafka Shesheisa Mayim Lerefuah. That's only when you drink water for refuah. Then we say that Einu Mevorech Aleihem. Why? Lefisha Einu Inena Min Amayim, because you're not benefiting from the mine. Aval Shar Mashkin. All other liquids, Nehene Bishtiyoson Ubataimu. You benefit from drinking them and from tasting them. Hilkoch Im Shoista Oisom. Therefore, if you drink them, even if it is Lerefuah, Tzorech Mevorech Aleihem. Which means, If something is stuck in my throat and I drink water to dislodge it, I do not make a bracha. But if I drink grape juice, or if I drink apple juice, then I would make a bracha. Why? Because you benefit from it. Mayim is considered to be tasteless, not considered to have hanor from its essential. The only hanor that you accrue from mayim is because it quenches your thirst. There is no other hanor. Therefore, if I'm taking it for any other reason but quenching my thirst, no bracha. But other mashkim, besides the fact they quench your thirst, they also give you benefit, gishmaketam, if you make a bracha. Says the Beis Yosef immediately in his commentary to the Torah, number 5, Uma shekosa bershei mari. Tashar mashkim im shei soisim refuat sarach levarach olea kein kosvu shom hatoisves v'rabbeinu yoina v'harosh zichreinim levracha. V'taimom, what is their reason? Very interesting, by the way, as an aside. What does v'taimom mean?
Yeah.
And the reason? We just used tam before as taste. So does tam mean taste or reason?
Both.
How can it mean both? There's no word in the entire language of Lashon HaKodesh which has two meanings. No such thing. Every word has one meaning. If it means two things, it must mean that those two concepts are related. So why has the reason got to do with the taste? The explanation is as follows. I tell you, there's a mitzvah to shake a luluf. Fine? Shake a luluf. Why must I shake a luluf? The answer is Shem said so. Shem said so, finish. Everything else is irrelevant. Occasionally, we can suggest what we would call a tam. What's a tam? So we translate tam as a reason, but it's a terrible translation. It's a taste. Do you have to eat bread to survive? You have to eat bread. Imagine bread was tasteless. In fact, imagine it had an awful taste. You still eat it. Why? You've got to eat bread. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'roiv chasdo, he gave bread a taste. So it happens to be, not only does it satiate, it also happens to be geshmak. That's not why I take it. That just helps it become more palatable. That's not why I take it. Why do I shake lulav? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. If you want to suggest a ta'am, not the reason, a taste to make it more palatable, so I'll tell you the lulav is connected to the spine, and the adasim is the eyes, and the medrash says the lulav is like a sword, and it's a yemadin, and we're victorious. I can give you all types of taste. That's not the reason. What's the reason why I'm doing it? David just said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. When I was in school, remember Dr. Gerber, Rabbi Yosef Gerber? He once told one of the kids in his school, here's a manal talking, you can use this back in the States. He said, one of the boys in the school, he said, I want you to go and do the following. The boy was a bit chutzpahdik, he said, why do I have to listen? So the Rebbe said, why? 9 reasons. 9 reasons. The first reason is because I told you to. After that, the other 8 don't matter anymore. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us as well. Why do you have to shake lulav? 1,000,000,000,000 reasons. The first reason is HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, after that, it's irrelevant. You want to give a tam? You want to give a taste? Like it says in Tehillim. Tuv ta'am vodas lamdeini. Dovid HaMelech requests HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me a tam. Why? How does the pasuk carry on? Ki b'mitzvoistecho he'emonti. Because I believe in your mitzvahs. What is he saying? I believe in the mitzvahs. I believe in them anyway. I'm going to do them. Some people, listen, if it makes sense, I'll do it. If it doesn't make sense, then I won't do it. But then it's not a tam. Then it's a stibbur. Then it's a reason. Dovid HaMelech didn't say that. I'm requesting you should give me a taste, a bit of an understanding. I believe in them anyway. I'm not making it contingent. If I do understand or don't understand, it doesn't make a difference. But once I'm coming from the back of this emunah, I do all mitzvahs come what may. So then I can request, like the Chinuch and the Rambam and other daily Rishonim, they suggest tamei hamitzvahs. So the art scroll would translate as the reason behind the mitzvah. That doesn't quite capture, it's not the reason. The reason, we have no idea the reason. Zois Chukas HaTorah, we read 2 weeks ago, says the Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh. Why is it called Chukas HaTorah? Not Chukas HaTorah, Zois Chukas Parah Adumah. So the Ohr HaChaim, because the whole Torah is Chukim. In B'chukai Saiteleich. The whole Torah is Chukim, we don't understand. Zois Chukas HaTorah, the entire Torah is Chukim. Some reasons we have more of an understanding, less of an understanding, make it more palatable, less of a palatable. Parah Adumah is the least palatable mitzvah, but they're all Chukim. Of koponim, sefer tam really is a taste, but we use it to mean a reason. Okay, says the base taste. Mida omrinon bereish perkin, because we said in the beginning of the perek shemen zayis mevorech olav boire prihoit. The Gemara said, what bracha is it on shemen boire prihoit? Ve'okimna. And the Gemara established that what are we talking about? That somebody has a sore throat. And the Gemara there asked a one-word question. Shita. Or Mashani. And the Gemara answered, Mahu de Tema. I would have thought, Kimin de Lerfua Kamachavad, because you're intending it for Rafua, Loi Livrech Aleha Klal. You shouldn't make a bracha kamash malon, given to Isle Hanot Aminei Bo'i Baruchi. That is a quote from the Gemara. Based on that Gemara, Kostu Shama Toises, that's the Toises that we just learned 10 minutes ago. The Nirim Advarim says Toises, it would appear, Dim Odom Shoise Mashkim, Im Ha Mashkim Ro'im Lishtois, if they are bad to drink, De Lesle Hanot Aminayu, Loi Bo'i Baruchi. The I Isle Hano Ominayu Beloya Rafua Boi Baruchi. So it all depends on one factor. Do you have Hano or you don't have Hano? Normally, Mashkim have Hano, and happens to be, unless it happens to be Ro'im. What does Ro'im mean? For the moment, translated, it's foul, it has bad taste. Says the Beis Yosef, therefore, tasteless, and other Rishonim who say the same. They are the basis, they are the source for this line in the Torah. That mashkin, unlike mayim, mayim we say you only make a bracha if you're taking it litzmoi to quench your thirst. But everything else, if you have hano, you make a bracha. Now, lochoira, we should be able to resolve the question that we asked a few minutes ago. We were a medayik, and the question is whether it's a true diuk or not. The Tosus, this is the basis of quotes, rotten, it's bad, has foul taste. So we asked, does Tosus literally mean that? What happens if it's not foul taste? If parav, will be the halacha then? We should all be able to resolve that safek, because that is mayim. Mayim doesn't have foul taste. It just doesn't have positive taste. And yet, what's halacha? You don't make a bracha. Unless it's smoy. So it would seem to be that ro'im, for the moment, is lav dafka. It doesn't need to be ro'im. Even if it is neutral taste. So if I would take some other drink, and for whatever reason, it's not absolutely negative, repulsive, but it's part of a taste, tasteless. You have some medication which don't have any taste. It's not water, but it has no taste. If you ask him, is that tam toiv or tam ra'a? So it's neither. Somewhere in the middle, what will be the halacha then? L'chair is like mine. So l'chair, we'll have to see again whether this carries out to the halacha. Let's have a look, number 6 on the sheet. Says the Shulchan Aruch. So we've seen the Torah, we've seen the Beis Yosef. This is now how it concludes l'halacha. Shulchan Aruch Reish Dalet Sidches Kol Ha'oichlim Va'amashkim She'odom Oichel V'Rashoyse V'Rafua Im Ta'amom Toiv. If their taste is positive, v'hachich nehne mehem, and the palate benefits from them, mevorich aleihem tchilav asayif. Zokt ve'elik ha'chavetz chaim says in Mishabura Sifkot Mim Gimel. What does it mean? Im tamom toiv, rotsa leima. This means to say, afal pi she'enoi toiv lohem klal. What does the word toiv mean from the word taiva? He has no desire or lust. He did not drink this apple juice because he fancies drinking apple juice. So why is he drinking it? Ve'enom oichlim elo machmas oines. Because he's been forced by his sickness. Doesn't matter. Given shall call upon him hachich nene mehem. Seeing as at the end of the day the throat and the palate do benefit from them, you'd make a bracha ula afuke, as opposed to imheim ro'im. I.e. she'en lo hano'om mizeh. Afal pisha mistrape mehem, even though you are healed from it, in a mevarech klal. Now, let's press pause. Could we be medayek from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch? Again, look at number 6, we even underlined it. Im ta'amom toiv. What does ta'amom toiv mean? Positive. So maybe we can be medayek once again, that if it's not positive, but it's not negative, it'll be neutral, what will be the halacha? No brach, which would fit in with what we said before, because that's like mine. However, let's have a look at number 8, and with this we'll finish. Zot the Mishnah Brura, this is the Sharatzion. V'af im ta'amon einoi toiv kol kach. Even if it is not so great, but kiven shal kol ponim einom ro'im. As long as it's not bad, there is some sort of benefit. Mashmami Mogan Avrom, Sikot Mechavdala, Da'afal Pikein, nonetheless, Mavorich. Umad Nokat HaMechaber, that which the Shulchan Aruch mentions, Im Tamom Toiv, Hulav Dafke, Elo, La'afuke Imhim Ro'im. It's only opposed to bad tasting. So one second, what's going on over here? The Sharetzion is telling me that when the Shulchan Aruch says Tamom Toiv, doesn't need to be that it's a moiridik geshmaka taste. It just needs to be that it's not ra. But even if it isn't that great, you'd also make a bracha. It just shouldn't be ra. And we have a question. What about water? Water's not ra. It might not be that great, but it's certainly not ra. The answer is the Chofetz Chaim, the Mesek L'Sheinoi V'L'Sheinoi Azov says, V'af im ta'amom einoi toiv kol kach. It's not that great wisdom, but it is a bit of toiv. Like he carries on, he says, V'hacheich nehem emayem. The palate does enjoy it. It might not be the most geshmaka thing on planet Earth, but you enjoy it a little bit. So it seems to me that Mayim is considered to be what? Absolutely tasteless. That's not called Hacheich Nehne Mehem. And this, therefore, Moirai V'Raboisa, we've seen all the way from the Sugya to Toisvus, to the Tor, to the Isvesa, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnabrua, Allah Lameisa, Lameisa, Lameisa. If you drink Mayim because you're thirsty, you make a bracha. If you drink it because you're taking it for medication, then you do not make a bracha. If it is any other mashke, as long as it's not bad tasting, you would make a bracha before and after, even though I'm only taking it for medicinal purposes. I'm not thirsty now, I don't particularly fancy having a glass of apple juice, why am I taking it for a fall? So a few weeks ago, somebody came up to me after Mincha and said, I had an extremely dry throat. I wasn't thirsty. Just had a very, very dry, itchy throat. So I took a cup of water, and I drank it without saying shahakol, because I'm not doing it to quench my thirst. I wasn't thirsty. But he says, having drunk it, I quite enjoyed it, and I felt that my thirst was quenched. Should I say goy in the fashas now or not? Fresh shayla few weeks ago. So I took it, I didn't make a bracha, I wasn't thirsty, at least I didn't feel thirsty.
But then you realize.
All of a sudden I realized, oh, I feel almost refreshed. I'm Chaim El Kelly. So should I now make a bar in a fashas?
No.
Are you passing a basket? Yes.
Now I realize.
I asked Mary the Rabbi, I go in on Nosson Kopshitz the next day. I told him he should make a bar in a fashas. Asked from Nosson to get a fashas. Okay, Mitz Hashem, next time we will see. From number 9 or number 10 on, in the sheets to the bottom, that goes back into Shasita, which obviously is all related to this. And then Be'ez Hashem will continue the Gemara at the bottom line.